Amen. He is the Lord of the breakthrough. And that's what we need today. That's what we came here to get, is a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God a praise. Let's shout down some walls today. Let's bring the walls of Jericho down. Hallelujah. I'm determined to get a breakthrough today. I'm determined to not let the enemy take my joy, take my peace, take my victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to get victory today. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm going to get victory today. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I know that something good must be coming because the devil's been fighting. Oh, my goodness. The devil has started off 2020 with a fight. But you know what the Bible says? We are more than conquerors. Amen. I know so many people have been sick. There have been so much stuff. But you know what? Today I'm determined to leave here with victory. I am determined to give God the praise, to lift up his name, to not let the devil see me wince or step back, because I'm going forward. Amen. I want to see clearly, amen, what God has in store for us this year. And that can only be victory, and that's why he's so mad. Amen. I said on Tuesdays, there's always a cost with blessing. Amen. And I want to tell the devil, I'm prepared to pay the cost. Amen. I'm prepared to pay the cost. And if that includes some pain, some suffering, the Bible says that we shall overcome in the end, right? We're in this life, we're going to have some tribulation. But you know what? Paul said, there's laid up for me a crown of life. Amen. Crown of righteousness. Amen. So I'm determined to not let him have victory over me. Amen. I'm going to run to the rock. Amen. I'm just grateful for God's mercy and his grace taking me through. Amen. Glad that you made it out in the storm that wasn't quite the storm, but God must have pushed it and made it rain or something. Amen. Because they were predicting like 9-10 inches, and I think we ended up at least with 3 or 4, but it enabled us today to be in the house of the Lord, to lift up his name, to give him thanks. Amen. 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 So there were a couple birthdays last week, and I know one of them is Sister Johnny Harrison here, so I'm just going to come to her. You just give a shout out. Thank God for making it.
Amen. I praise God for being here today. I praise God for his goodness and his mercy, and it's just taken a little time to get over everything, but I praise God for everything that he's doing for me. I praise God they called me on my birthday and told me that they totaled my car. But I think, you know, from the accident, I took it in to get it repaired or whatever, and once the insurance company took a whole total look at the car, they was like, this ain't going. So they totaled the car, but I praise God, you know, for how the Lord just blesses and put people in your life, put them in place, you know, there to help you. And my car that I bought, the Toyota, when I bought that, the man that I went to was the same one that my former pastor had gone to. So I called him and explained to him what was going on. And he said, okay, Miss Johnny, don't worry about it. We got you. We got you. So he went to work, and he went to work on looking for me a car. And it's 2015. But it only has 48,000 miles on it. And it still has 7 years worth of warranty on it. Amen. So that, you know, that's what he said. We know you needed something with the warranty on it. So I went looking for something with that. But I praise God how the Lord just keeps on looking out for me. And how the Lord blesses in spite of everything that's going on. I ended up with the baby on Friday night. But that's okay, too. Because in that, you know, last night he went to sleep saying, I love you, Jesus. You know, and I had the song on, oh, how I love Jesus. And he just said, I love you, Jesus, you know. And I praise that because it's my desire to get it down on the inside and to get it down on the inside of my grandchildren. You know, I'm trying with, you know, with everybody else's children, but I have to work on my own also. And I praise God for everything that he's doing. Pray my strength in God.
Amen. Amen. And since I'm right here, Sister Joanne,
Praise the Lord, everyone. I'm just grateful. As Pastor was saying, the enemy is busy, but I know who's going to win in the end. So I just give God the glory, and I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And Sister Michelle came and told me specifically this morning that her sugar was down to only 165 from like 400 or 500.
Yes, praise God for continually working in me and healing me in all areas of my life, not just my health, but just in my mind and my finances and my walk deeper in depth. I started off being, y'all saw me a couple of Sundays ago, had to be carted out by the ambulance. They said that my sugar was 587. It is now today, as of this morning, 165.
Amen, amen. And this young lady came and told me that she has finally decided she would like to get baptized.
I just want to say thank you, God. I just want to say thank you, Jesus.
You want to say thank you, Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, shout it out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand. You have a testimony? All right. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I just want to say thank the Lord because I didn't say anything to the church, but on Christmas Day, my son was driving, and a truck rammed him at 70 miles an hour, and they just told me the other day that the car is total. So that's two cars totals from two Johnnies. So, but guess what? The Lord is in control because, you know, they called and said, this car is total. And I said, no, that can't be. And they said, yes, the car is total, and we're going to total it out. And you know, I'm going to tell you, I began to cry out to God. I started talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, this is a mess. How can somebody hit you at 70 miles an hour, knock you up on the curb, and just keep on going? And I said, that's not going to happen. I'm going to find out who this person was. And I started to do an investigation my own self. I called the police several times, and they kept coming up with some reason as to why they haven't went to this gas station and checked out this camera. So I said, well, I'm going to go to the gas station myself. And I went to the gas station, and I spoke to the owner, and I said, on December 25th, there was a truck that ran my son and knocked him up on the curb. I said, you have a camera. I said, I would like to see the camera. So he kept telling me as to when to come back so that I can see the camera. But I tell you, I fell on my knees and I said, Lord, you is the camera. You can tell me and you can show me who hit this car. And I tell you, I was driving and I heard the voice of the Lord say, turn right here. And I turned. And as I turned, I said, okay, Lord, I done turned. He said, go one block. And when I went one block, I see this very truck that fit the description of what hit my son's car. And I was like, wow, that's the color of it, Lord. He said, look around in the front of it. And as I looked around in the front, the truck is tow up, and it has my son paint on the front of the truck. Well, I snapped cameras, snapped pictures, and I went back to the police department. And I said, you know what? I said, I found the truck that hit my son's car. And the police said, well, how do you know that's the truck? I said, well, you're probably not going to believe me if I tell you the truth. He said, well, let's just hear it. I said, the Lord speaks to me. He said, what? I said, yes. And I said, he directed me to the truck. In this whole Milwaukee city, out of all of these trucks, the Lord directed me to the truck. And I said, and it has my son paint on the truck. And I said, if you all don't do an investigation, I'm going to go to the chief of police because this person needs to understand that they have hit somebody's truck, car, and tore it up. And so I gave the police all the information with the tag number and plate number and everything, but then didn't stop there because I ran the plate my own self. I went on the website and I ran the plate and I said, you know what? This truck has tickets. Why is it even on the streets driving? And I said, you all are going to have to do something about this. And you know, they got the report and they're doing whatever they're doing. But you know, the Lord, when I went out to the place where my son's car was totaled, I went to go. They said, you have to come and take your belongings out. And when I went to look at the car, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know what? He said, if it hadn't been for the oak wood that your son had a speaker box built in the back of the car, it said it would have cost him his life. And God said, right now, you give me thanks because of that speaker box saved your son from not getting hurt from this accident. And I just want to praise God in everything he do.
Amen. Let's give God a praise. Let's stand. We're going to continue worshiping. Amen. Sister Johnny always has an amazing testimony. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? There's a victory to start off. I just want to declare this victory Sunday. I just want to declare this victory Sunday because although the enemy has tried his best, the Bible says he's going to raise up a standard. Amen. There's been so much sickness, so much oppression, so much depression, but in the name of Jesus, I declare victory today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to worship with our giving and then be dismissed to our Sunday school classes. So if you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you this morning for your great and wonderful blessings. Lord, we ask for your covering today, Lord God. We ask for your blessings in our services today. Let there be anointing, Lord. Let your word go forth unhindered. Hallelujah. Lord, as we give, Lord God, we ask you to open the windows of heaven. Lord, you can replace cars. You can replace finances, Lord. We just thank you right now for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Whatever the devil has taken from you, you can, through God's blessing, through his grace, you can recover it all. Amen. I'm grateful again, as I said, for all that God has done, his mercy. Amen. His fight. I'm very grateful for my wife. It was also her birthday, Saturday. Amen. 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 I'm just so blessed. Amen. I don't want to boast, so I won't say more than that. I'm so grateful for what God has blessed me with, a helpmeet and someone that is always there, as I said, to hold my hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this is our second week on our theme about seeing clearly. Amen. And last week we looked at the most important part of seeing clearly is seeing ourselves. You know, if you don't really understand who you are and what you're going through and what you need, then you can't fix it. Unless you know there's something wrong, there's nothing you can do about it, because first of all, you have to understand a need. You know, I said it's like if you're walking out the bathroom and you've got paper stuck to your feet and you don't know it, you know, you can't fix it. But if someone points out that you have something, then it can be fixed. So last week we looked at seeing ourselves, which is really where we have to start from. We have to see that we need God, that we're not all it, that there is more than just, you know, whatever gifts or talents we have. We have to really understand that we are far from perfect. And so this week we're going to be looking at the next step. Let me just get this going here. Okay. We have to be looking at the next step, which is seeing the light. Because to see, you need light. Amen. Our theme scripture, our core scripture, is from 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even also as I am known. What this scripture is really telling us is, yes, there's going to be things that we don't understand. And so it comes down to trusting God. In the end, there are going to be things that God can explain to us, and we have to just believe them. They have to take them on faith. You know, when you were a child and you asked certain questions, there were things that your parents couldn't explain to you. Not because they couldn't explain it, but you couldn't understand it. Right? I've told you many times when I heard my dad say he was going to go to work to make money. In my little puny four-year-old brain, I thought, you know, what I envisioned, he was actually making the money. That's what came to me. He was actually making the money, or he was picking it or something. When he says he went to make money, my conception of what that meant was so, you know. And so there are things that we're going to go through in life that the limitation is not with God. The limitation is with us. And so you have a choice. Do you say God is unfair, he's unjust, or do you trust him? Do you trust him? And this scripture, Paul is saying, we see right now some of the things only a little bit. We can't really see everything clearly. But it says, one day we shall know. One day we shall understand. God won't even have to explain it to us. We'll understand. So last week we talked about seeing ourselves. So this week I want to talk about seeing the light, because you cannot see if you have no light. That is key to seeing anything, even yourself. You have to have light. If there's no light, then you just can't see. Amen. And the Psalm 119:105, which is key, says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's God's word that illuminates, that shines a light, that tells us the direction we got to go. Amen? Let me say it again. It's God's word that tells us the direction we got to go. It's God's word that shines the light on our path and gives us hope. You know, the devil, when he was first created, his name wasn't devil. In fact, he was called Lucifer, which means light bearer. He was a bearer of light until he rebelled and until he sinned. Let's look at that. There are false lights. And if a very bright light is shined in your face, instead of letting you see, it blinds you. So let's look at that. When we look at Satan, the Bible speaks about him in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? So there are lights that if they shine too brightly, they blind you. So that's not the kind of light I'm talking about. I'm talking about a light from God's word, which is truth, because light is always associated with truth, because light shows you the true things that are there. You know, like, I hate driving in snowstorms where they call it a whiteout, because there's so much white that you can't even see. So there are lights that can blind you if they're not, if they're shone right in your eyes. And we see that there are lots of denominations, there's lots of religions out there. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, speaking about even in the Christian faith, there's so many people who are false, who are promoting themselves rather than Christ, promoting money rather than God's gospel. And that's what I talk about when it's a false light. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. It's become very common now for everyone to say they're an apostle. That's the latest title. Bishop isn't high enough anymore. You have to go to apostle. And then maybe chief apostle. And Paul says, no marvel, don't be surprised, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. To me, the highest title you could get from God would be what? Servant. If you can really say you are a servant of God, wow, that's the title we should ascribe to. I'm his servant. The angels, when they came to bring messages, that's what they said. Servant. Servant. Not apostle, not bishop, not... If you can say you're a servant, how powerful is that? That means you're in his employ. That means you belong to him. That means he's going to look after you. So don't be surprised when you see people who are so-called Christians spout all kinds of stuff. I was texting with a friend of mine who, I guess he's an atheist maybe. I don't exactly know what he believes, but the reason why he's an unbeliever is not because of science, not because of evolution. I can tell you exactly why he's an unbeliever. Anyone would guess why he's an unbeliever? Can anyone guess why he's an unbeliever? Because of Christians. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible that this person I'm talking to, the main reason why he's an unbeliever is because he sees what Christians, so-called, say and do, Brother Malcolm. Amen. And that's why the Bible says that we are to do what? Let our light. But if the light that we're projecting is right in someone's eyes and is a harsh type of light, instead of showing them the way, it blinds them. It blinds them. And Satan now, that's what he's doing. Satan comes to church. Satan comes to church. Amen. And so, you know, He had been texting me, and he was saying it's sad. Last thing he texted me said, it's sad. Maybe I can find it, what he sent me last night. And I said, you know, I'm gonna try and talk to him. I'm gonna try and witness to him, because, you know, He said, it's so sad, Mike, having faith when it associates one with those kinds of believers is nearly impossible. That's what his last text. He was saying, having faith, when you declare yourself a Christian and you're associating yourself with these kind of people, it's almost impossible. You know, and he wasn't raised in a Christian home or anything like that. So I just told him, listen, send me your email address. I'm gonna send him some. I'm gonna start dialoguing with him. Because you see, the unbelievers, when they come across people like that, they throw the whole thing out. They throw the whole thing out. Everybody's a sinner. Nobody is good. There is no God. But what we want to do is not project a false light, but the true light. The true light. See, the false light, it blinds. And that's what Satan is. He blinds. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You see all these people on the TV, and they're just declaring, you know, things that are non-biblical and all about money. That's what turns people off. They're, you know how you can tell if a organization or if a ministry is valid? Are they preaching the gospel? Are they telling people how to be saved? Or are they just coaching lifestyle? Because there's a lot of them on there, and all they're doing is coaching lifestyle. They're not really telling the gospel message. How can I be saved? Peter, on the day of Pentecost, wasn't talking about, well, you know, you do this job or that job or whatever. He didn't coach lifestyle. He was saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. See? And so you can tell what they're preaching and measure it by the Bible, what kind of light it is. Amen? So the Bible tells us, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. You see, true darkness can't understand light. That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why? Because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Isn't that sad? How has he blinded their eyes? With a kind of light that looks like truth. The most dangerous lie is the one that sounds like it could be true. If something is clearly not true, if I say that is purple, you're not going to believe me because it's clearly not purple. But if I say, well, it's vermilion, which is a shade of red, yeah, it could be. Right? So the most dangerous lie is the one that sounds like the truth. And we're in the age right now of deceit. Everybody's talking about what? Fake news. And Christians are getting involved in, especially on social media, of pushing fake news. They don't check anything, they just post it. Well, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I'm not forwarding anything. Don't send me anything and say share and God will bless you. I don't think there's any scripture for that. No. The only thing that God you need to share is the gospel. Amen. That's what you need to share. Not these cat memes or something like that. Truthfully, are we really shining the right kind of light? Where the thing that turned this guy off is it wasn't science, it wasn't physics, it wasn't evolution, it was Christians. Christians turned him off from believing. That's so sad. Amen. You see, we're in an age where Satan has decided if he couldn't beat them, join them. So he's joined the church. And so the way to tell what kind of church it is, are they preaching the Bible? Are they preaching humanistic views that you can help yourself, experience the God within you? There's no good thing in me. Paul said that. I find no good thing in me. There's no good thing in me. If I acted upon all my flesh, you would really see how awful I really am. Boy, this morning the bed was so good. I had set the alarm for one time, and I reset it. gotta get some more. I can't get up. I had such a hard time. My flesh didn't want to do this. There's no good thing in me. You see, what's happened is everybody believes that there are many ways to truth. You know, you can be this and still get to truth. See the good in everything. Well, yes, there is good in a lot of things. But like the story I told about the fudge brownies, you still wouldn't want to eat it. You know, for those of you who hadn't heard this story, I'll just tell it very quickly. There was a single father, and he had some teenage children. They wanted to go watch an R-rated movie. And they said, "Dad, please, can we go?" And he says, "Well, I don't think that's a good thing." They said, "It's only got just a little bit of sex and violence and cussing. Just a few seconds." Anyway, they insisted and they went. And when they came back, he had baked them some brownies. Big cake, a tray of brownies. And they said, "Oh, Dad, you're the best. You're wonderful. Look what you did. You baked us some." And he said, "Sure, can we have some now?" He says, "Yeah, you can have some. But it's just got a little bit of poop. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Do you still want it?" Do you understand? It's not how much truth you teach that's the problem. It's the little bit of poop that will kill you. The darkness comprehended it not. Why? Because Satan has started to put a little bit of poop, if I excuse my being crude, in the brownies. The brownies look so good and tasty. But if you know what's in it, are you still going to want to eat it? It's just a little bit. Just a little bit. "And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Anyone want to do the eye test? Let's read it. What does it say? Do you all need to go to the optician? "I once was blind, but now I see." You know what? We should be in here today. We should be some of the happiest people. Not because of our circumstance, our present circumstance, because if it was depending on that boy, yeah, we could be really unhappy. Some got their cars totaled, some other things happening, you know. I saw a little thing on Facebook. I thought it was funny. If I could remember it, I would say it. You know, it was put into the rhyme of the itsy bitsy spider, right? You know that rhyme? "The itsy bitty bitsy paycheck was put in my account today. Down came the bills and wiped the paycheck away." You know, if it was our present circumstance that we should be happy about, then you'd have, you know, none of us would be too happy, right? Itsy bitsy spider came and just wiped it away, or there's needs, right? And you can't say no, right? If someone asks you for some help. So it just feels as if you're always cruising on, you know, just about this much fumes. If that was what was going to make me happy, I could be miserable. Paul said, if in this life alone we had hope, we would be above all men most miserable. If this was it, I'd be miserable. But there is a light, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, because that's where Satan attacks, in your mind, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And of course, some people like it dark, because then they can hide what they're doing. They can hide what they're... I text someone this week a scripture. And in fact, I read it Thursday night at prayer. And it's Galatians, I think, 5:6. It says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That shall he also... The Bible says God is not mocked. In other words, you can't fool God. People think they get away with stuff, but they don't. It's going to come back. People, in this, you know, they talk about karma. Well, you're not going to get away with anything, because eventually you're going to have to give an account. If not down here, certainly you're going to have to stand before God's judgment seat, and you're going to have to give an account. The Bible says so. Sometimes when truth is shined, people don't understand it. They don't understand it. That's what John 1:5 says. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They don't understand it. But true light brings truth and brings deliverance. That's how you can tell the difference between a false truth. The true light is going to encourage you, is going to free you. I'm going to give you an example. When God truly is in the situation, it's going to bring deliverance. It's going to bring freedom. Peter was locked up in prison. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison. Herod had arrested him and was going to execute him the next day. What was Peter doing? Sleeping. Think about that. He knows he's about to be executed the next day. What was he doing? Sound asleep. The church, though, was praying. The Bible said much prayer was made upon his behalf. So Peter was sleeping, knowing he's going to be executed. Now, that is an example of trust. And which of us would be sleeping knowing we're going to die tomorrow? In fact, he was sleeping so hard, the angel had a hard time waking him up. He was just, if I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. Maybe that's what he was so happy about. Amen. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. They said, you know, we're going to make sure he doesn't escape. We're not just going to lock him in a cell. We're going to lock him in a cell, but we're also going to chain him to two soldiers. Don't know if the soldiers were asleep or not. They probably weren't supposed to sleep, but he was just snoring away. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Now, here's my point about true light. What does it say? What does it say after the angel of the Lord came upon him? And a light. Suddenly, there was a light in the prison, in a place of darkness, in a place of hopelessness. You see, do you understand what I'm saying? You could feel right now that you're in some kind of prison. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's family issues. Maybe it's job. Maybe it's financial. But if the church start praying, first thing that happened was the angel showed up, and then there came a light, because God is going to lead you out. Amen. He led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, I didn't put this in here, but what was the night that he led the children of Israel out of Egypt? What do we call it? The night that they left Egypt. Come on, that's an easy one. Think about it. What in the Bible, it's called a special night that they left Egypt. That's right. Passover. It was Passover. The death angel passed over the house with the blood. Okay. But now, can anyone know what the date was? Because the Bible also tells... What date does Passover fall on? Sorry? Can't hear you. That's right. Very good. She got it. She got it. How many other people knew it was Nisan 14th? That's awesome, Sister Johnny. You got that. Now, Let me explain. How did the Jews start their month? How did the Jews, their months are, come on, let's see how much you remember. What's special about the Jewish month? It's based on the moon. The moon. And the beginning of the month is always signified by what? What is it called? The new moon. That means it's almost black. It's almost black. All you can see is the thin crescent. So the first day of Nisan is always going to be the darkest night of the year. The darkest night of the month, because it's the beginning of the monthly cycle. But what day does Passover fall on? The 14th. And so if the month, the Jewish months are based upon the moon, and the moon is how many days in the moon lunar cycle? It's the same as a woman's cycle, roughly. 30, actually it's 28 days. 28 days. Okay, are you listening? Because I'm going to tell you something that I didn't put in the lesson. Now, that means Passover fell in the middle of the month, the 14th. If the month is 28 days, lunar month is 28 days, and the beginning of the month is the darkest, God chose which night for them to leave Egypt? The brightest. Passover always falls on a full moon. Passover always falls on a full moon. It will always be a full moon. Maybe it'd be cloudy, but so do you understand? The night that they left Egypt, God provided. The night they came out of slavery, God provided a light for them to leave. Do you understand what I'm saying? God provided a light. In the prison, the angel came, and then what happened? Anytime God's going to get you out of your bondage, there's going to be a light. Now, that light may be truth. That light may be the word of truth that delivers you, but there will be a light. And the truth will, Bible says, if you know the truth, it will what? Set you free. So God's light shined in the prison. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. You know what that means? Freedom is coming. There's about to be a miracle. There's about to be deliverance. There's about to be some chains falling off. It's amazing how God repeats the theme of deliverance, because he chose the brightest night to release the people from Egypt. It was a full moon. So Passover, remember that. Passover always will be a full moon because it's in the middle of the month. The month always begins with the new moon, which is, if you look up a new moon, it's when the moon is completely occluded or black, except for the crescent. And as the month, the days of the month progress, you get a bigger crescent, bigger crescent, bigger crescent. So by the time you come to the 14th, it's a full moon. After that, it starts to wane again until it becomes another crescent, and you get another month. So God chose. It wasn't a happenstance. It wasn't a coincidence that God chose the night that they left so that there would be plenty of light. So their light came on, meaning, Peter, get up. Get up, Peter. You got to leave here. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. Then what happened? Chains. Chains. Chains fell off. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm telling you, if you let the truth, the light, start to shine into you, you start holding on to that, you start believing that, you know what'll happen? There'll be deliverance. The chains will fall off. Your circumstance may seem the same, but what it means is God is now shining a light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. God is about to take you out. There are four cups that they drink at Passover, and they all have different symbolic names. The first cup is called the cup of deliverance, or the God promised to take you out. When the Jews celebrate Passover, there's four cups of wine drunk. The first one is the cup of taking you out. And that always happens when there's a light that shines. Amen. Psalms 43, verse 3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. You understand, light is always associated with truth. Because light shows what's really there. Not what you imagine, not what you think, not your opinion, but what's really there. I taught the other day about the fact that in the last lesson that Jesus said, because you say you can see, that's when you become blind. If you were really blind, then you would be free from sin. You would be guiltless because it really means you don't know, you can't see. But because we claim, oh, we got this, that's when we become guilty, because then we're saying, don't tell me what to do. I got this. I know my way out. Don't give me any help. I can be holy all by myself. The true test of a Christian is not coming to church. But can you take correction? If pastor comes to you and say, I don't like that, you're going to get all mad and get in a pout and a harumph. You know, when my pastor comes here, he corrected me many times from the pulpit. Did I get mad and quit church? No, I did not. Because, again, if someone is telling you got toilet paper stuck to your foot bottom, you're going to get mad at them. Who are you to tell me what I've got? I can wear this toilet paper if I want to. That's some people's attitude. They don't want to be taught. If you don't want to be taught, you're in the wrong church. Let me say now. I love being taught. I love it when I'm hearing somebody teach me something that I haven't heard before. Even if something I have heard before, but they're saying it so good, it stirs my soul. You can ask my wife, when I come across a good Bible teacher, I'll tell her and I'll let her know, boy, that guy was really good. If you can't be taught, it means you think you've got it all. I don't have it all. I don't even have this much. David said in Psalms 25, 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. A lot of times why God doesn't bring the light is because we think we know where we're going. Most times, you know, we make the decision, then we ask God. What we really ask him to do is just approve what we have already decided. We're really not saying, what is your will? We're saying, Lord, I want to do this, Lord. This is what I want. Please let me have that. David said, lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Before I can feed you, God has to feed me. Amen. And if I'm not humble and not seeking God and saying, God, please, give me the food for your people. When Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes, he gave it to the disciples first. Then they gave it to the people. Lead me in thy truth. They could have said, well, we're not servants. Let the people get them themselves. They could have gotten all, you know. When we are humble, God will show us truth and the light will shine into our lives. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God, who commanded, the first thing God did, let there be light. Let there be light. Because that's the first thing you need for truth and for knowledge. You ever tried reading a book in the dark? Well, when you were younger, maybe your eyesight was pretty good. But if you keep doing that for a number of years, it won't still be pretty good. you'll get eye strain. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Bible says thy word is truth, but Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. So the word is truth. Jesus is truth. Therefore, Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. Thy word is truth. I am the truth. Therefore, he is the word, which is also God. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. We're on a journey. As Paul said, it's not as if I've arrived, but I press towards the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. This is a journey, and it's a fight, and it takes an effort to take the next step. Sometimes it's real steep. Sometimes it's very rocky. Maybe you slip. Maybe you fall down, but get up. Don't stay there. Don't give up. But the path of the just is as a shining light. As David in Psalms 23 said, yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death. God's path may take you through some valleys that look very dangerous, that look so lonely, that look depressing, that make you want to give up, make you want to question and think, is there another way? But thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So the Bible says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. As we get closer to God, his light is going to get brighter. That's the thing about light. The closer you get to it, the more light you see. You can tell which direction you're going. If it's getting dimmer, you're going in the wrong direction. If it's getting brighter, you know you're heading in the right direction. Because verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. See, if God shines the light, you can see the little traps that Satan put for you. Sometimes, because this is streaming, I have to watch what I say. But I'm human too, let me tell you that. And the devil knows what buttons to push to get you to try and take away your peace and your joy. So sometimes you just have to just say, I refuse to play that game. Sometimes it's best just to just not even say anything to some people. Just let it wash over you. Because once you start down that path, it just aggravates your spirit. See, part of walking in light then is separating yourself from some of those aggravations that take away your spirituality, that take away your joy, that take away your peace. We have to look at our lives and say, what can I do to separate myself? Because that's what light will do. Light will separate. Walking in light or truth means separation. If you're going to start doing something different than everyone around you, they're going to say, who do you think you are? You think you're better than us? Well, who do you think you are? You're not doing that anymore? Amen. That's right. The Bible says there is a path or a way that seemeth right, but that way leads to what? Death. Yeah, the path that we will choose a lot of times is not the right path because, you know what, we can't see. It's the difference between being above and looking down. You can see which is the best path, but when you're on it, you can't see. And that's the thing. God is above us. He can see. Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and then he shall direct your path." Like GPS, right? The God positioning system. Now that word acknowledge, I've said to you before, in the Hebrew, that word is Shem. And what it means is to know. Sorry, not Shem, Yada. Yada. In all thy ways, Yada, him, means to know him. And it means more than just a little bit of know. It means intimate know. You wouldn't even have to ask. You know, there was a big thing a few years ago where everybody was wearing those bracelets that said, "What would Jesus do?" Do you remember that? It used to be popular, everybody going around with bracelets. You know, most of us already know. You don't have to ask the question, "What would Jesus do?" You know. He wouldn't be doing what you're doing. He wouldn't be cussing, doing some of the stuff. You don't even have to ask. The secret is obedience to God and his word. If the light's shining this way and you say, "I'm going to go that way," and it's dark, you're going to stumble. In all thy ways. All thy ways. Only big life decisions am I going to consult God. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and then he shall direct thy paths. So knowledge of him separates us from ignorance. Separated from the profane, that means the ungodly, the common. Jesus in John 17, before he was arrested and about to be crucified, he said, "They are not of the world." Praying for his disciples, "even as I am not of the world." That's a strange thing. Well, we know Jesus was not of the world. But look what Jesus said about his disciples. That's amazing. They were born here. But he gives them this accolade or blessing or declaration. He declares them not of this world. Do you understand what that means? That means Jesus can declare you not of this world. That old time song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." So the light is going to separate you from the profane and also separate us from our old nature. Ephesians 4:22 says that he put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle. If you used to cuss up a storm, you need to be separated from that. The former conversation means our lifestyle. The former conversation of the old man that we used to be, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. What does it mean? It means our flesh can deceive us. We think we want something. We think it will make us happy. We think it will satisfy us. Then when we get it, after a while, we realize, no. That's why you have some people who, you know, end up marrying like 10 times. Because they think this relationship is it. This is the one. This is the one. This is the one. Or, you know, other things that they put their heart into. And it's deceitful. It's deceitful. Because when we get it, then we don't want it. When we actually get it, we find out. It's like a little kid who is killing you for some toy. Every week they go, "They want that toy, they want that toy." And you finally buy it. They play with it for about 2 days. Then you find it on the floor somewhere. Like, "Jimmy, didn't you say?" "Yeah." Our lusts can be deceitful. We think we really want that thing, but when we get it, we find out it really didn't fill that spot. The light will separate us from those kind of behaviors. If we let God direct our walk, in 2 Corinthians, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves We can choose to separate ourselves from some stuff. Don't put it all on God. It's not all God's fault. You know, if you're an alcoholic and you keep walking into a bar and blaming God because you got tempted, that's not God's fault. You know you have that weakness, stay away from that place. Right? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear, or in other words, the reverence of God. That's what it's talking about. Light will make you see the direction you're supposed to go. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 says, "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted." This is the early church. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me." There's a separation if you want to be used of God. "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work." For the work. In the Old Testament, the priests had to be separated. They couldn't touch certain things. They couldn't go because they were the priests. They had to be holy. They had to be undefiled. Even in the New Testament, we see the same thing. It says here, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." Why? For the work. You want God to use you? You're going to have to be separated from some things. "Because I have called them." Verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." If we are truly seeking God, truly seeking to be separated, we will follow the light. God's light is shown through his Spirit. That's what John 16:13 is telling us. "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you." So the Spirit of truth is a light. He will guide you into all truth. "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." I forgot to put a slide in here, but maybe I'll have to try and find it. See if I can find it. But a light doesn't cast a shadow. A light will not cast a shadow. See if I can find the picture that I was going to show you. Isn't that strange? Do you see that? That the flame does not cast a shadow. God's word will not cast a shadow. It's not a trick, but maybe go home and try it. But a light, there will be no shadow. You can see the matchstick, but there's no light where the flame is. Do you understand that the Bible says, "In him there is no shadow or variableness of turning." The Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. That's why there's no shadow. Do you understand? The light has no shadow because he's not speaking of himself. "But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." God showed you the truck. God showed you the truck. Man's camera wouldn't show you, but you declared, "God, you are the camera," and he showed you the truck. That's amazing. That's amazing that God showed you exactly where to go. Amen? Because we walk in the light as he is in the light. Then the Bible says we have what?
Fellowship.
Then we have fellowship. So the light will separate, and it's the path to separation, or the old-fashioned word, sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So all of these things, all of these scriptures here are talking about what light will do. It will separate. Light, you never shined a light in a kitchen where they got cockroaches? What do they do? Pew! Man, they're fast, those things. You hardly blink and they're. Phew. I was down in Virginia on a job, and they rented me a place. And when I went in, I turned on the light. Something moved. That's what will happen to the devil. Something will move. When you start shining some light, something will move. You had to really freeze frame that thing. They were so fast. Because the light, when it shines into the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. I'm running out of time. But what we should do is have God's word shine on us. Because as I said, every time God's light shine, there's going to be deliverance. There's going to be freedom. Colossians 4, 5 says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace. This friend of mine who is turned off to religion, not by science, but by Christians, it's because of the speech he has heard Christians say. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that he may know how you ought to answer every man. That means including the unbeliever. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. See, and that's what turns people off. They see people on social media, Christians, posting all kinds of stuff. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. That should be the filter of our daily life. Something can be true, but that don't mean you need to blab about it. Because it doesn't help anyone, doesn't lift anyone up, it doesn't encourage anyone. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So how do you begin to walk in light? How do you begin to walk in light? Love. 1 John 2:8. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. Now, it sounds good, but it isn't easy. Think of some people who have done you wrong. Do you still hate them? Boy, your flesh wants to. Your flesh wants to get even. Make them suffer. Make them pay. But that's not walking in light. He that saith he is in light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. See, the true beginning of walking in light is love, because that's what the Bible says God is, love. Amen. If you could stand with me. Verse 10 says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling. So the key to start walking in light is love. Not just the love of people who are good to you, but to try and love the people who are not so good to you. The person who got on your last nerve, the person who just keeps pushing your hot buttons, the person who is making you want to do all kinds of things. That's what you got to overcome if you want to walk in light. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and you're giving the devil occasion to trip you up. And knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. The way I try and do that is to think about how many times I've hurt God. And then I think, yes, this brother or this sister's hurt me, but have I done the same thing to God? Is God looking at me the same way? And would I want God to treat me as I'm about to treat my brother? That's how I try and get over feelings, is put that person in relation, or me in relation to God, with the same thing, because I know I've done God just as bad. I'm sure I've lied on God. I'm sure I've hurt his feelings. I'm sure I've put him down, talked bad behind his back. Walking in light is really walking in love. And when you can see because of the light. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. It's through God's light that we can see where we're going. Last week we talked about seeing ourselves. This week we talked about seeing God's light. And this is key this month as we begin this year, to start seeing people as God sees them. And we can only do that if we're looking at them as God looks at them. And you know the way God looks at them? And this is my other way I try and get over my upset with people. How many of you can be really mad at a two-day baby? Just angry. Little baby. Every single one of you at some point was a two-day-old baby. Every single one was a little innocent, helpless. And I think that's how God looks at us. In fact, he said, except you be converted and become as a little baby. That's what it really means. Because I try and look at people that way that have upset me. They don't even know what they're doing. Because the Bible says, if you want mercy, blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Obtain mercy. We're closing this Sunday school, but I want you to understand that we need to walk in the light as he is in the light. And then we shall have what? Fellowship. I want you to understand that when the light of truth starts to shine, just as how they came out of Egypt, it was a full moon. God provided a light for them to escape. God will provide you the truth of his word, the lamp of his word, for you to escape. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word that shines a light of truth upon our way. Help this word to be buried deep in our hearts. Help us to meditate upon it. Oh God, that you can take us to the next level. We thank you right now for blessing. Hallelujah, for your glory and for your covering. And we give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering this morning. Come on, give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Greet all our visitors. We shall start our second service at past. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.